Dear friends, welcome to another edition of your favorite weekend character building show, River Fix. My name is Nwadiutor Akani, a professor of pediatrics and child health at the University of Port Harcourt, and a consultant pediatrician at the University Teaching Hospital, Port Harcourt. I'm in charge of social pediatrics and childhood oncology. But just before we begin, let us take an opening message from Her Excellency, Justice Mrs. Eberechi Suzette Nyesumwike, the initiator of Reef Ethics.
Greetings to the God-fearing people of River State and welcome to another episode of River Ethics on Radio, our character building weekend show. Please remember that our adolescents are special and need special care and attention to prepare them for adulthood. This episode is titled Adolescent Resilience in the Face of the Pandemic. The COVID-19 pandemic and its associated social and economic stresses can undermine adolescents' development and well-being. Not only must they cope with major changes to everyday life, such as physical distancing and home confinement, but their families may struggle to meet their basic physical and emotional needs. Rates of poverty, unemployment, parental mental health problems, and substance abuse, child abuse and neglect, as well as intimate partner violence, tend to rise during disasters. Adolescents may not receive critical support they need when community services are limited and fewer adults have direct contact with adolescents. As a preventive measure during the COVID-19 pandemic, we all have had to stay at home for a long time. The lifestyle of adolescents has undergone substantial and severe changes. Almost every school started online education for the first time. Some adolescents have shown low resilience when faced with these changes. Resilience can be defined as the ability to positively adapt to stress, crisis, and adversity while remaining healthy. Resilience can also prevent further emotional and behavioral problems in the face of serious stress and adversity. For instance, researchers have observed that when different individuals face the same adversity, some people can overcome life stress and stay healthy due to having higher levels of resilience, while those with lower levels of resilience will develop mental distress. The primary factor in an adolescent's recovery from an adverse or traumatic event is the presence of a sensitive and caring adult. To support healthy adolescent development during a pandemic, adolescents need to maintain regular age-appropriate connections to important adults in their lives. Parents and other caregivers should spend quality time with adolescents. Even short periods of time, playing, reading, going outdoors, and even talking can bolster adolescents' sense of safety and security during uncertain or scary times. Stay connected even when physical separation is necessary for safety reasons. Set up times for adolescents to talk to distant caregivers. These connections are important in helping adolescents feel secure and supported during the pandemic. Let us listen to our guest speaker today as she expounds on the subject. She is Professor Nwadiutor Akani, Professor of Pediatrics and Child Health, University of Port Harcourt, and Consultant Pediatrician, University of Port Harcourt Teaching Hospital. Please enjoy the episode. And of course, put the great lessons learned to very good use. Our caring people of River State, don't forget to always let your manners speak for you. God bless and keep you and your families, and God bless River State.
Ihun anumeka o ndeje arizika fundo gbakwe kwere USA ehanku coronavirus be ehanku ke enwe hala egumisi ke yogwo hia obokini ha yeme na ohuna yibochira husunu igoruncha no mini no somaka ngwenu bobla husunu ikusuri okpa aka naanya manimi maobu oni ikwabalokpa maobu no sansa humasinu ikpushumero oni ngwenu bobla richehi no kusama ho bobla ipalamaka ngwenu bobla guru mono betega naka ke ebuge helku tikpata naka ngwenu bobla ipalamu haka ize kompe akidabaduze le lore ekpere maobu kwabebeli gabadun maobu kwamele kesinu odobiri odobiri ize no wogesesi kpushumemi mana oni ngwenu bobla ibasibadaka maobu kwa obagi nagide ba ibe nda ha yeme na ma ha yevu ehaku ye ko ye wehia ehi bia ku ye ko ye zina kwa kwa shiririke ye ko ye zina enwe enwe ololu ma ehi obugbu ya nuri shopuku nda ha kwesiri ome na obikwa ehi na onode keburoma usenu irijire ruho menu bobla riboku kwa wiri na atamasi kurisisi menu bobla usenu inwangamini nkare nkare menu bobla usenu inyegare ehi oge ozipata anyara nkare nkare bali no kusama mozaka toro menu bobla nda ha kwesiri ome ma ahuna yevu ehi akuka suku ndo ore anu kebokuga ncdc no green green 08097000010 biko hosenu ijila akai na edigbe ehi isokonye ni obla mobezi noro kevu ehi aku coronavirus abekulem nye chigali river state nwai yesum eze nwomike nihi na obaliga no chihala ehi aku kebokuga coronavirus na ele river state ndegi arizika bunda ogbako ekwere usa anumekao.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, this is Rev Ethics on Radio, and my name is Nwadiuto Akani. I will be speaking on the topic, Adolescent Resilience in the Face of the Pandemic. And this time around, COVID-19 comes to mind. But for us to understand what we're talking about, we need to know who is the adolescent and why are we focusing on the adolescent. Adolescent is anybody between the ages of 10 and 19. If you're not one now, you have been one before you became a parent. You have passed through that phase. Or you have a child who will, in the near future, become an adolescent. So this subject becomes interesting and should draw your attention because it can affect anybody. If you don't have one adolescent as a child now, maybe a relation of yours, your nephew, your niece could be. Now, pandemic. When we talk about a pandemic, we're talking about a situation where an infection has ravaged a whole country and then countries and has affected the world and appearing to be uncontrollable. So it has crossed boundaries. Now, one would ask me, what is resilience? Why are we focusing on adolescent resilience? Now, the word resilience implies the ability to bounce back in the face of challenges, in the face of difficulties. If you recollect life, you look at life issues, you find that there are times you have two people finding themselves in the same circumstance, and then one survives that circumstance, the other goes down and never really comes up again. Why is it so? And we're looking at how adolescents, in the face of this pandemic, and maybe in the near future, will bounce back after such a difficult situation. If we look at what happened as this pandemic has been progressing, a lot of things have happened. Schools were shut down, markets were shut down, even churches people couldn't go to. Relationships had to be held at bay. There were social distances, lockdowns. All sorts of terminologies came up because of this infection. Now, you would ask me again, why are we focusing on adolescents? After all, everybody passed through this period. Now, adolescents were yesterday's children. They are looking forward to be tomorrow's adults. And so you find that they are in between. You can't call them children and you cannot call them adults. Although the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child defines a child as anybody below the age of 18. So you find that these people we're referring to as adolescents, are a lot of them are also in that definition of children. So you find that the adolescent is actually in a transition stage, transiting from childhood into adulthood, but is not yet an adult. And therefore, they still depend on family, parents, society, and the rest of them to meet their needs. A lot of them, you find them in and out of school. You see many of them now on the streets. Some of them are heading homes. Some of them are in the workforce. So adolescents are found everywhere in the society. Now, why are we talking about them? They make up, if we take Nigeria, for instance, as at 2009, the population of adolescents in Nigeria was 22.1% of the total population of Nigeria. So if we extrapolate that to now that we're thinking of whether we are 200 million or 300 million, you can imagine that we're talking about a quarter of the population of Nigeria. So they are significant in the sense that future labor force, they are likely to make impact in developmental strides. If nobody takes care of them, they will also weigh down on the country. If their health is not taken care of, the country is in for it. So there are many reasons why we must focus on adolescents. For human rights reasons, they desire the highest level of health attainable, developmental opportunities, and they deserve to have information and skills development. For economic reasons, the cost of effective intervention in their health situation will be insurmountable if we do not take care of them. And so potentials for healthy adolescents will also be an advantage for the nation's development. And talking about health rationale, you know that within the adolescent system, we find a lot of reproductive and sexually related issues. So going further and further away from home attachments. So it becomes imperative that their health related issues are taken care of. And if we prevent sexually related problems that may hamper future reproductive lifestyle or future reproductive outcome, we will also be saving the nation a great deal of a problem. Now, having talked about the population of adolescents and the fact that they're in transition, during this transition phase, they go through a lot of problems. And only if one understands them and if they understand themselves will the society actually appreciate adolescents. And so you find that there are those things, the hormonal changes, psychological changes and all whatnot, for them to adjust appropriately, they must necessarily adopt certain coping mechanisms. And these coping mechanisms include things like having adequate values, setting goals, effective goals, having a positive self-esteem, having skills in decision making, and also the aspect we're going to be talking about today, resiliency, and then what we call the locus of control, that is how well they can be in control of certain situations as an individual. Let's go on a short break. We'll be right back.
Don't sit. There are things to be done.
Every day.
With your bit, the battle will be won.
That's the way.
Be tolerant, be understanding.
Show some care.
Be just and undemanding.
Be sincere.
The road to greatness is rough. But with hard work, we'll surely overcome. Be proud of your state.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, this is Rivetics on radio. And my name again is Nwadiuto Akani. The topic we're discussing is adolescent resilience in the face of pandemic. Now, I've just told you about determinants of positive adjustments when the adolescent is transiting from childhood to adulthood, that they have to have good values, goals, and then positive self-esteem, skills in decision-making, and resilience. That is what I described earlier on as the ability to bounce back in the face of challenges or difficult situations. And then, of course, locus of control. So the adolescent is right there in the society. And like I said, I've told you where you can find them. And then it's been influenced by a lot of things. The teachers are there when they go to school, talking to them. The family is there. They return to the family. It's influenced. You have the religious organizations, the church, the mosques, giving them their own ideologies. You have the culture that they live in, influencing them. You have the media that they're learning also from. And then you have their peers, giving them their own information. So how well an adolescent gets out of this phase and becomes a relevant and useful and coping adult depends on how well the adolescent handles all the information and influences coming from all these areas. So, when we talk about adolescents, some people think that these are a group of people who are rascally, they are destructive, they are this, they are that, rather than see them as people who need help, that these are people that are at risk. And because they are at risk, they need protection, they need guidance, they need self-actualization to arrive at where they are coming from. Now, when we talk about health, because we know that the pandemic created a lot of problems, a lot of people were ill, adults, children, adolescents were ill, but then the way it was spreading, the whole population needed to be protected. Schools had to be shut down. Churches had to go on recess. Markets had to be closed down. And things like that. Now, these people who are always on the move, how did they take it? Did they assimilate it and did they accept it as something good? Did they all come out of it happy? Did some of them decide, well, he that is down needs fear no fall? Because parents who were earning for the family, some of them actually lost their jobs. Income in families reduced. And some people didn't even earn at all. Relationships in homes. Yes, there was a positive aspect of the lockdowns when it comes to family. Maybe wives saw their husbands more than they used to see them. Husbands saw their wives more than they used to see them. There was family reunion in most of the homes. Some families enjoyed the reunion. But then you also saw people who were shouting, why should you close down school? Young people were shouting, reopen the schools, we want to go back. Some parents were shouting, reopen the schools, why should you shut down the schools? They were not looking at what are the advantages of these decisions taken by government, taken by the health workers, taken by majority of the countries. There were places where there was total lockdown, but in our own situation, for instance, we enjoyed some intermittent reliefs of go and replenish and all whatnot. Now, let's look at it this way. How did it affect the adolescents? Talking about ability to bounce back in the face of challenges. Did it affect them positively? Did it affect them negatively? Did we succeed as a society to actually impact on these young people? Now, one can say for some, yes, it was positive. For some others, it was not. For instance, there were a lot of young people who were looking forward to finishing their education, getting into the youth service, or getting into the labor market and beginning to earn income because of what they had passed through trying to train themselves in school. Some had spent quite a good number of years, had even overstayed, and then the lockdown that suspended school session and elongated it. So for them, it was not good news at all. Now, for some people, they saw it as the isolation was putting them away from their friends that they related with and all that. And that isolation for some people, fortunately in this, well, I don't know whether to say fortunately, in our own environment, we have not taken statistics of how that isolation affected young people. But in developed countries, they are beginning to see that some of them started manifesting some mental illness. I wouldn't know why, because there are a lot of things that also contribute to mental illness. Until we do a study of how it affected our adolescents over here, we may not be able to see exactly all that happened. Now, but we saw a good aspect. For some families where there were resources, it didn't affect them when it comes to education. They took advantage, they perfected their technical skills, they participated in online studies. I remember when they said schools should reopen, some schools said they will reopen, they will do online studies. A lot of parents cried out, how will they buy data? And where is the computer? What about the children who live in the villages and things like that? For such young people, especially those who had aspirations and who probably were doing well at school, they would see it as a setback because they will not participate like other people who had the resources. And that could actually be a setback. That may also cause depression when we talk about depressive illnesses. But for homes that had it, well, it wasn't a problem because immediately they provided it for their children. So while others were at home and those in remote villages, these other people who had the resources were busy doing their work. So you could see the disparity when it comes to availability of resources. All right then, we'll go on another break, a short break, and we'll come back shortly.
If you do good, you do for yourself. If you do bad, now you go take your own head carry am. If you think you say you feed do person bad and you go happy after and they jolly, my friend, you jam block. Nothing better pass say make a person do good thing because he knows say he go better for him if he better for him friend.
I don't know why people they fight, oh. I don't know why people they quarrel, oh. I don't know why people they make wahala. Yes, my friend, don't make you no fight, oh. My friend, don't no quarrel, oh. My friend, don't no make wahala.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, this is River Ethics on radio, and my name, Nwadiuto Akani. We're still on adolescent resilience in a pandemic situation. Now, some of the things we have seen that act as protective factors for young people and make them at least come up and then develop their resilience, so to speak, is when you look at family, the issue of family, we've identified that family is a protective factor. A school connectedness is also a protective factor. The society, if we have a disciplined society, a society that cares for its citizenry, a society that cares for the development of people, it's a protective factor. And then there's a concept we now know that also helps for positive human development when present, and that is what we call asset development. This, you have community asset development, and you have, or something you call the external asset development, and you have the internal asset development. Now, if you have a child whose values have been well developed and the fellow has developed his own values, yeah, because a child coming from a family, the family has his own values, but an individual can also separate himself from the values of the family. So if a child has the right values, has developed these values, internalized it, and has competencies and commitment to whatever he or she starts to do, and also has a positive identity, that's not somebody who feels, well, I'm already down, what can I do? The person who has a positive identity, they tend to do well in the face of adversity. And then if the community assets are there, that also helps these individuals to develop, irrespective of whether they contributed to it or not, because it's communal asset and it is put at the disposal of the young people by the elders and the adults that they relate with, then it also helps the young people to bounce back. So you find that in this pandemic, yes, some people survived, but we also do know that some did not bounce back like others have bounced back, because they lost their jobs and there's no income coming from anywhere. We do not know how many of our children have not returned to school, because we really have not taken statistics. And when you look at how the social distancing, for those who are living in communities where you have overcrowding, social distancing didn't mean anything to them. But for those who are living in areas where there's low density, yes, they benefited from the social distancing. Now, so we're talking about how do we really, because some countries are beginning to experience the third wave of COVID-19. What if tomorrow the third wave meets us? What if tomorrow is not COVID-19, another pandemic comes? We need to now start building up the resilience of our young people, and in fact, everybody in the society. Like I said, resilience is ability to bounce back in the face of adversity. Now, look at it from the different angles. Some people bounce back even though they're in the same environment. Some others don't bounce back. We found in some studies that the key difference is the skill of emotional regulation. How the individual handles his emotion and regulates his emotion irrespective of the circumstance. Children who can recognize the experience and expression of their emotion are better able to choose an adaptive response instead of resorting to distraction, violence, self-injuries. A child who responds positively to his or her emotion and is able to exercise self-restraint, self-compassion, and remains focused, will remain focused rather than be distracted. So we believe that building skill of emotional regulation for these young people will serve as a skill. These skills will help them go through such difficult times. The other thing is promoting family relationship, that when you have supportive parent-child relationship, it also helps the adolescent to grow. But when you have a situation where a child and the parent are always at loggerheads, the child does not believe in the parent is not living like his role model, it becomes a problem. So we need to supportive parent-child relationship in our environment. That way we can also help the adolescents grow. That's why we say that parenting is a skill, and for the adolescents, parenting is a creative experience, because every child is not the same. Parenting is also role modeling. How are you living your own life so that the child can benefit from it? And parenting, you may also be the significant other that the child is looking at. and you don't know how well or helping this child or how you're mind this child's future. And then the other thing is nurturing the whole child. There's a way we're looking at the whole child now, at home, at school, and in church, wherever the child is. In fact, in developed countries now, the children in school, we're beginning to look at them in the dimension of whole school, whole community, whole child experience. So that at the end of the day, the child we're producing is balanced for the society. And then teaching mindfulness to help the children deal with their emotions and their anxiety. We believe that if we work together, whether in the family or at the level of community, that is why we have leaders in the community. We can put our assets at the disposal of these children, develop them, their skills, develop their minds, develop them educationally, and work with them to see themselves as responsible persons. In other words, build their self-esteem. And then they know that even in the face of adversity, there will always be a lifeline for them to work on. I believe that a lot of them would have succeeded in building their resiliency, and they have something to look forward to in the future.
Dear friends, this is the much we can take on this edition of Rave Ethics. I hope it made a difference in our collective effort to make our society a better place. If you missed part of this episode or wish to download this or previous editions, please visit our website at www.reveethics.com to listen to or download all episodes. You are free to share it with your friends at your school or community. You can also join Rave Ethics family on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram via at Reeve Ethics, and you can call our phone numbers for questions related to this or other editions. The numbers are 0704-605-1333 or 0701-247-0049. Or you can send us an email on reeveethics@gmail.com. The Reeve Ethics radio program currently airs on 5 radio stations in River State every Saturday as follows: Nigeria Info 92.3 FM, 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. with a repeat broadcast on Sunday at 12 a.m. Radio Rivers 99.1 FM, 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. with a repeat broadcast on Sunday, same time. Rhythm 93.7, 2:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. with a repeat broadcast on Sunday, same time. Treasure 98.5 FM, 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. with a repeat broadcast on Sunday by 5:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. On Wazobia 94.1 FM, 6 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Until we come your way next week with another host, remember to always let your manners speak for you. Wishing you a great week ahead.
Don't run the other man down. Don't wish him bad. No, no. There are better things to do, better pastimes around. Careless talk is not the right way. Love River State or leave her alone. Don't pull her down, no, no. Think what you can do for her. Engage yourself in meaningful activities. No room for gossips. Do something meaningful.